Welcome to BL Talk, where we discuss issues of importance. These are the matters of concern to minor attracted people in general and boy lovers in particular. Join us every week for a new discussion. Now, here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to BL Talk, the weekly podcast where we discuss issues of importance to minor attracted people in general and boy lovers in particular. This is your host, Linen72, filling in for Zoom 4. And today on the panel, today we have XO Boys, Dragon Lover,
Boy
Cowboy, and Boys Forever. And today on the panel, and we are discussing the topic on what types of relationships are available for adult friends and youth friends. So let's start with Cowboy.
Okay. How do I say this? Actually, for a boy that chooses that the adult friend is going to be his choice.
So, talking about the possible relationships between an AF and a YF, there are many different varieties and also some basic categories. An article that I wrote, I described some of them, and they are in the following order: the father-son concept, the partner's concept, and the peer-to-peer concept. My favorite is the partner's concept. Now, it seems to work well when the dynamic is one of perceived equality, just as though they were an adult partner, a girlfriend, or a wife. So that's part of the thing. That's the partner's concept. And again, in the partner's concept, a YF and an AF are fundamentally partners and equals in the relationship. Of course, someone has to take charge. And since, of course, the AF is older and he has the money, he's probably going to be the one to take charge. But that's just a titular position, meaning that the flux of back and forth of what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and various other types of things all fit in right there as though he were a full adult partner. They can be included in all kinds of things. Discussions of necessity, meal planning, grocery shopping, planning, and organizing chores. And many of the things I just mentioned, most boys would take no particular pleasure in. However, when he is your recognized, accepted little partner, that dynamic changes somewhat. The next one is the father and son dynamic. It might sound a little harsh, but I think that this dynamic is the one that gives the general public the idea that any relationship between a man and a boy is a power trip on the man, from the man. That's the only way that they can maintain the illusion of dominance and superiority. That thing, that maybe works for them, but I have doubts that their wives feel exactly the same way. The fatherly thinking may seem innocent enough, but in essence, it is a biological property dynamic. While fathers and sons can have a very wonderful relationship, that dynamic sets up a variety of interpersonal obstacles. If you aren't pro-C, that might get by. But a father and a partner lover are two entirely different things. In the third one, the peer-to-peer dynamic, you are the friend he visits to get away from his home situation. You interact similarly to age mates, as though you and he were the same age. He comes and goes as he wants. If you insist on something too much, you have to realize that once a boy knows that he's attractive to men, the game's on. You can be replaced. These are the most transient of relationships and the most superficial. Your actual degree of influence depends largely on how badly he needs your escape and how good you are talking him into doing what he doesn't want to do, like going to school for one, or not stealing, or maybe breaking into the local biker gang's clubhouse. There are certainly boys to fill all these categories, and there's even the troublesome boys who may trick with you, but you may find yourself looking for something that went out in his coat or backpack. Knickknacks that attract, tapes, tools, money from your wallet, that kind of thing. So those are the three basic concepts. Understand that they're generalities and there are many variations underneath them, depending upon the ideas of the parties involved. So that's my opening statement.
Want me to start, or Cowboy, you want to say more, or?
I will start off. My category would be the first one, because like I'm in a relationship with my young friend, and we discuss everything together. It's like we pick the restaurants, and you know, of course, I pay for it, but you know, it's mutual. We sit down, we discuss, and we choose the spot.
Okay. Dragon lover.
So, I would probably go for the peer-to-peer type thing. That's generally what I go for. I like to, you know, when I had YFs, it's going to be a long time if I ever have one again. But when I had YFs, I would like to, provide a bit of a safe haven for kids, especially troubled boys who, you know, have the trouble at home and all that. So, yeah, that would be my thing. Like, peer to peer, he can come over to my place whenever he wants to. And, of course, we'll go out and do stuff, you know, have dinner, go to a movie, you know, maybe play video games or whatever. But yeah, that's my area right there. It's definitely going to be a peer-to-peer situation.
Okay. And XO?
Yes. Like I said, I like the partners concept. My idea with a YF is to have one that's long-term, like mostly through my AOA until he gets about 14, 15 or thereabouts and ready to move on. So that's what I prefer. And I've had several of those. I've also had some of the other types that only last a few days or a couple of weeks. And that's basically, or a few months, that's basically, as far as I can tell, the peer-to-peer concept, because there isn't that much I don't want to say joining, but there isn't that much full bonding in that way. You know, when you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a wife or a lover, the closeness is together more. You have more of an emotional relationship as well as a physical relationship. And some of the other relationships, there isn't that strong a bond emotionally. But that's what I like. I love boys, and I love everything about them. And I love to be emotionally involved with them. I mean, every boy that I've ever had or ever known, I've loved them all. But I want to keep them around. My idea is to give them the education, the stability to move on when it's time for them to move on to become an adult. I think that range of time is for learning, ready to be an adult. So, you teach them how to sew, how to cook, how to iron, how to do laundry, how to go grocery shopping, how to fix the car, how to go camping, how to behave in public, and all that kind of stuff. That all goes along with that. That sometimes that doesn't happen in a father-son relationship, I don't think, because, there are personal obstacles that go along with that. No matter how wonderful your father and son relationship is, there are always subjects that are not to be entertained, things that are not to be spoken of. A biological father is supposed to talk to his son about sex and that kind of stuff, but generally speaking, they don't, or many of them don't. And probably that's because they feel embarrassed to discuss that type of topic with a boy. A young boy. So that's why I like the partners concept.
Okay. Am I missing anyone? I will go on ahead then. It was interesting hearing the different categories and kind of at a loss because I never in my mind differentiated one from the other all that much. I do realize that things are a little bit more limited in the father-son aspect. And I also think that's where most of the pressure comes from, is from a father-son concept. I think there's a lot more pressure in that than there is the other two.
I would agree.
But I think, honestly, I'd probably be a combination of those things. I probably wouldn't label it as anything per se. I enjoy doing all the fun stuff with them. I would enjoy being of help to them or assistance to them in whatever they would like. Whatever they need help or assistance with, I like to be all those things. And I don't so much want to be the tough disciplinarian type, although under some circumstances you might have to be. Which I learned as a moderator, but I simply just want that beneficial relationship. I don't want to be the stern, I do like to be the guy that they come to when they're having trouble at home or at school or something of that nature. I do much prefer to be the one that they feel comfortable talking to and not the one they're afraid to talk to. Usually if they have that fear issue with any authority figure, there's usually a good reason. So I would rather be the one who can take that away from them a while so they could just relax and be themselves and be honest.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. You're right, is that a strict disciplinarian is not really the way to go if you want to have a relationship with a boy who is not your flesh and blood, not your son. And they do need to know that they can discuss anything with you without fear of anger or reprisal from you. That is a big thing. Now, I have seldom had to say anything of a disciplinarian type or of a sternness or whatever to any boy. Like I said, there are troublesome boys who, you might meet one, you think that he's going to be good, you bring him home, you get to know him, and he steals from you. So, he doesn't last long. But I believe in full as much as possible, informed consent. And that means sitting down and having a talk with them about what's happening, what the repercussions could be, what the consequences could be, and what the outlines or the rules or the modus operandi is of a partner relationship. So, of course, I like to be the leader, but that doesn't mean that I don't listen to him or don't refer to him with everything that I possibly can. You know, he has a key to my back door, maybe has a key to the passenger side of the car so he can get in. He may help with planning chores, housework, laundry, things like that. And I try very hard to take that input and make it a part of the whole scheme. And believe it or not, they react very well to that. And they actually will adhere to things, such as chores and whatever, that they wouldn't normally do. But because they're a part of the planning, part of the overall picture, they feel like an equal. It really does make a difference.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those guys who I feel, and I think, and honestly, when it comes to the father-son thing, I don't think it'd be any different for me if I were a father. But in any of those capacities that we mentioned, I'm one of the guys who says, you know, let people make their own informed decisions and let them make their mistakes, too, if they need to make mistakes. First question, and then I'll go into the other question. Are we all on board with that philosophy?
Yeah.
Which philosophy exactly?
You basically let them learn, make them make their own informed decisions and let them learn themselves, you know, through both their mistakes and their successes.
That's the way to learn and act as a guide. Yes.
Now, I go by that philosophy. Now, here's where things get a little tricky for me in regards to this philosophy. Now, suppose they're thinking of making a really bad decision that you know could alter their life for the worst, like taking drugs or joining a gang. If a youth friend of yours was considering something like that, I'm kind of curious how you would all handle that.
I myself would bring him in and have a talk with him. When it's already taken care of, that he knows that he can talk to me about this. So it's likely that I already know what his plans are about the, if they joining a gang or smoking some weed or whatever it might be. And he's likely to tell me that. I try to set that up to him. Part of my belief is that people who get lied to because they set up a situation where the kid does not feel comfortable in confiding to them. You know, probably a poor example would be, suppose a policeman would ask me if maybe I had any drugs. Would I tell him yes? No, I would say no. But if a friend of mine asked me the same question, I might say yes. It's because the relationship is different, and it's the cop, not me, but the cop that set up the situation where he's lied to. If you don't set up that situation where nobody has to lie to you, or they don't have to lie to you, then likelihood of them doing so is very small. I would also lay out to him the consequences of what he's planning to do. What can possibly happen, the interactions of gang members that I know about. Some of them are not very happy. Some gang members are required to fulfill some kind of task that is of a, what's the word? They use a fraternizing, but, hazing. It's kind of a hazing thing where, you know, and like in some of the black violent gangs, the new members have to go out and maybe kill somebody or beat up a honk.
Initiation.
Initiation, exactly. And they do that. Even a minor gang does that. They expect their members to fall in line. So if you don't totally agree with that philosophy or whatever, then you don't want to do that.
Right. So I guess the best you could do is try and persuade them, hey, this ain't such a good idea. When it comes down to it, it's still their final decision. You kind of got to hope that they make the right one.
It is, but the best way to get somebody to do something or believe in something or whatever is to make them come around to the idea by themselves so that they, in their own mind, come to the conclusion that this is not good. And you do that by the things you say, the way you talk, how you present it, and you don't talk down to them. You don't say, you cannot do this. It has to be their choice, like you said. They have to be able to be free to make that choice and also free to not make that choice.
So what do the rest of you think?
This is Cowboy. I actually agree with what Expo Boy said. It's up to, you know, it's up to the child.
I cover that because, you know, when you, the honest truth about it, and sometimes even the cold, honest, brutal truth about it is, you know, we all have our own autonomy, you know, regardless of what anything or the law or anything says. And I mean, nobody can force me to do anything. Nobody can force me to make a certain dish and not another. Nobody can force me to listen to a certain type of music and not the other. You know, it's my autonomy, what I do with my own self. And that's what can be hard is when they don't make the best decisions, because you want them to make good decisions. Anyways, Dragon Lever, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with letting them make their own decisions. But I'm sure most of you know the story of me and Victor and how that kind of came about and ended. Talk about poor decision making. Steal my pills and sell them on the street. That's a bad decision.
Yeah.
And believe me, he reaped the rewards of that. I mean, his older brother beat the hell out of him. I mean, he, you know, had the guys showing up with the guns and all that. So bad. But it was his mistake. And I hope he learned from it. I really do. I hope he learned from it. Messing with people like that can get you killed.
Yes.
But as far as other stuff goes, I'm dead set against drugs. I will not tolerate drugs. And if he's on drugs and he wants to be around me, then we're going to work on getting you off of that stuff. That's going to be number one, you know, because I'm not just going to sit by and let him do drugs. I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
I
no.
have to do something.
It would seem to me that under the circumstances that happened with you and him, that in a way he betrayed you. He betrayed your friendship by stealing your medications. And my thought is if you're in a relationship with someone and you acknowledge the relationship, they acknowledge your relationship, then you each have a duty to each other to maintain the unit's security and well-being, so that if one of them, he's doing drugs or stealing or whatever, then that impacts on me. And years ago, on the street in the city that I live, I met a 12-year-old prostitute. He was a boy prostitute. And I didn't realize what he was doing until about 8 or 10 days after I met him. He was staying at my house. He was a runaway. I actually had to fight somebody downtown that he called the pimp, who was pimping him off and taking his money when he was asleep. So I took him away from him. I tried to, get him straightened out as far as that goes. But he liked the money. He liked the men. And he wasn't going to quit. So no matter what I said. So he didn't last long. I had to send him away, and I felt bad about doing that. But, I can't have somebody like that going out and turning tricks with people and then coming back and sleeping in my bed for one thing. And the other thing is that one time he brought one of these people home to my house, and there really wasn't much I could say. Unless I wanted to make a big scene, which I did not. But anyway, that's the thing. See, if you're in a relationship with someone, you hear men all the time complain that their wives, when they come home, where were you? How long were you going? How long have you been gone? Where were you? Where are you going? All that kind of stuff. Well, to me, she has the right to ask that. She has the right to ask. And if I had a wife, which I, of course, don't, I would always let her know what I was doing, because we are in that partnership relationship. That means a lot to me. That type of relationship really means a lot to me. And it has worked out really well for me with Wyatt.
Trying to think what else to throw out here.
Does anybody have anything they would like to add?
I'm good.
Just to say that if you're selecting a young friend, try your best to find out exactly what his family dynamic is. It is extremely important. Because if you don't, you don't know if you're going to come across a parent who absolutely 100% hates the idea and hates you and sees you as some kind of a predator. Could end badly. So you treat it with kid gloves at first, but try to find out as much as you can. I believe in time that the boy will eventually trust you enough to discuss what's going on at home without any poking and prying from you. So
that's true.
I mean, just treat it with kid gloves. Take time, time, time.
You should be the one that he comes to talk to about that.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that I think is the responsibility of the AF to set up that type of relationship, and make it easy for him to talk to you about whatever, without you getting mad. Without you throwing a fit or whatever, because that doesn't never help anything. Now, I admit that I am pro C, and that's the type of relationship that I like to have, and so that goes a long ways. But I have to tell you, and this is what I think, is that if the important physical intimacy is all you have, you have nothing more than a few moments of gratification. You really have nothing more than that.
That's absolutely true.
No. I got to tell you, the trust thing is so true. My last YF, keep in mind, this isn't something I would think I would repeat. It was totally an online thing. He was so far away in distance. There's no way we would have, we weren't able to meet a person at that point, but I met him online and he was really cool. And he did eventually reveal some things to me, like you said, Dragon Lover, without me prompting him to say anything. And he told me, and all I had to do was be there for him. Really, I didn't have to do a whole lot. And I think it meant the world to him that I did that. And that's always going to feel good. What I wish is that my arrest had never happened, that we could have continued to speak, but instead we lost contact, and I cried my share of tears over that. But I tell you what, he told me that it, he told me himself, if not for me, he would have been a runaway, and who knows what kind of life he would have led if that had happened.
Yeah, I can go there too. Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, I remember one time when I was working at one of these residential treatment facilities for, you know, disturbed boys or physically disabled, mentally retarded or something like that. I was taking care of this 12-year-old boy. I was there for him each and every night. He lived on campus over there. And unfortunately, he had what's called Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Duchenne's usually claims its victims by age 18. There is no surviving Duchenne's. There's just no cure. So knowing this, I got in, you know, really, really taking care of this kid and this, that, and a third. And finally, one day, I got a call from the hospital. It was my supervisor telling me that he had just died. I mean, last night I was taking care of him, and today he's dead.
Oh, wow.
And so she knew, my supervisor knew that I had a good relationship with him. So she sent the rest of the unit off to school or whatever, and she asked me to come over and go through some of his stuff for his parents. So I came over, and I came across something that looked like a notebook. And what he was doing was just freely writing out his thoughts and feelings. And I was kind of quickly reading this thing. I don't want to totally violate his privacy, but a couple days before he went to the hospital, he wrote something in his journal like, I'll call myself Jim. He said, I really enjoy my time with Jim. Know why? Because he gets it.
Wow.
Yep.
And it just hits you. I mean, like in the heart,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yep. I couldn't believe he wrote that. I mean, and it was such an honor for me to have that kind of a space in this kid's life. I mean, he's got me like on, you know, the top shelf.
And that is quite the compliment.
It is. It is. He gets it. Three little words, and yeah, was important.
You know, and I think that after a while, you pretty much know what kind of boy you're looking for. And you can pass by the ones that you know are not going to be suitable. Now, most of the best YFs that I've had have not been gay boys. They were not gay when I met them. They were not gay during the time that we were together. And they didn't grow up to be gay. So, you know, for me, just a regular, cute, straight, regular boy is just fine. One that wants to learn, wants to go places, do things. You know, that's what I like. My kids watch educational videos with me, and educational channels.
That's cool. Yeah, my last YF, and this was the same dude I was just talking about. I remember one day he was, you know, we were all, there is some issues in the family, and I'm not going into detail. Like Dragon Lover said, I don't want to reveal too much and disrespect someone's privacy, but I was going to say here, there was a point when I was talking to my youth friend, he did say, he said once, I wish you were my dad. He said twice, actually. And I'm thinking, man, if only I could, you know, we lived in two different countries, and And, you know, I was at a point where I was like, I was willing to make a lot of sacrifices to do it. Because he got to a point, there was a point where he had to stay with some foster parents because of his situation at home. And if things weren't going to get any better there, I gotta say, I would have been more than willing at that point to make the sacrifices and do it. Although I realize more now, man, what a big one that would have been. But I do remember, anybody ever have moments like that?
Yes, I've had boys tell me that they will wish that I was their father. And I say, well, I'm not your father. I can never be your father. But I will do my best to stand in and take care of some of the responsibilities that your father should be taking, but isn't. But I can be your guardian. You know,
yeah, that's true.
I can be your guardian. That's a different relationship as well. But your father, I could never be your father. And I really don't want to be your father. I want to be your partner and your guardian, if anything, but not a father.
Okay. All right. This concludes today's episode. I'd like to thank the panelists for being here. Cowboy, XO, Dragon Lover. Yep. Remember that you can hear new episodes of BL Talk on Wired PM Radio every Wednesday at 7 o'clock PM Eastern Time on the Slide Zone with DJ XO. Also, you can go to bltalk.com to hear new episodes on demand, as well as the BL Library in the audio section. Everybody have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Have a great week. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Peace out.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on BL Talk are solely those of the individual participant or speaker and do not reflect the official stance of Wired PM Radio or any of its affiliates.